To be able to do that, we'll have to go into Genesis while we're talking about Adam's journey with the Lord. So we want to first understand the proposal to make man. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Pardon me. So it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. They shall rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the cattle, the whole earth, and all the creeping things that creep on earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and increase. Fill the earth and master it, and rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the things that creep on earth." Here we see God, the creator of everything, making a proposal to create man. He said, let us create man in our image, after our likeness. And he gave the reason or the dominion of that man in that same verse, because the dominion would be to rule over the fish, the birds, the cattle, and the whole earth. So the man was supposed to be the king of the earth, the ruler of the earth, over every creeping things that creeps on the earth as well. The man was simply supposed to be the ruler of the whole earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there is a change of word there, which we must understand. Because when we say male and female, he created them, we must understand that in this particular verse of the scriptures, male and female here does not talk about the morphology of or the differences in sexuality of that image. God's image is neuter in nature. It means it doesn't have a specific sex. God is not a man. God is not a woman. God does not have a gender. He doesn't. But he chooses to appear to us in the likeness of man. So we lay that aside for now. So, but when he says male and female, he created them, we also understand that he's talking about the spirit being. He created them and called them man. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fertile, increase, fill the earth, and so, and so, and so, and so. But this is one man that he had created called Adam. That we call him Adam, right? Because God even never gave him the name Adam. That word called man is still what he was consistently being called until his death. So that's the thing about Adam. He was called man. And that man was what he was called till he died. Adam means man. What God called him was man. And so there was no need to have him call the name because he was simply mankind. And there was no need for God to tell the man that, oh, this is my name. There was also no need for that introduction. There was a perfect understanding when the man was created that he was able to attribute himself back to God. That connection existed. There was no need for introduction. The man was not created and then God said, you will be called Adam. No, neither was there a time when Adam said, God, what should I call you? And say, oh, you can call me this. No, there was no need for that introduction. So we're driving somewhere. But there's also something I want to really pick out from here. For you to understand, or for us to understand, that the very image and essence of God. God created the man, right? In his image. In the image of God, he created him. But that him, realize this, that him is male and female. They are not two separate beings. They are not two separate things. It's not two separate entities. He created him. In that him was male and female. Permit me to say that in that him was both the masculine and feminine, or was both the strength and nurturing spirit of God, or nature of God. God is spirit. What kind of spirit? It's not the kind of spirit that we understand it to be today. God is spirit above all spirits. So therefore, in him is all forms of attributes, what we would humanly call feminine character. God has that. The nurturing spirit is a feminine character, right? He's usually called the double-breasted God, for us to know that he cares for his own. He created the whole universe. He's into gardening. He's interested in gardening, in nurturing, in keeping, in raising children unto himself. He's interested in all of those things. We wonder why. And yet, while he's interested in those kind of things that we would attribute to a woman today, he's also the mighty man in battle. He's also the great one, the God Almighty. He's also the one who provides. So this same God of ours, who never gave a name to Adam, had all of this attribute and way beyond that in him. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. He's a conqueror. He's the one that seeth. El-Roi. He's the God Most High. El Elyon, as we would call it today, right? He's many things. God, having those attributes within himself, was also able to create man. And in that man, he kept those two natures within that single man. The understanding of human would not be able to convey, and then we call that male and female. It is not to say that there were two genders. Adam was not, someone who has two gender. No, Adam was not, he didn't have the mental dysphoria that people have today. No, that's not the case, right? And also, the understanding here is that Adam was created a spirit being. And so, it tells us something else again. Let's look carefully. It says that God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them. God blessed them. God said to them. And you would wonder, wow, how did God bless them and said to them? I mean, maybe God was referring to when he had already created both Adam and Eve, and maybe he had already formed them, and then he was telling the two of them, no. While he was yet a spirit, God already gave the instruction, be fruitful and multiply, be fertile and increase. We will get to a certain point where we will explain that much further. So that is God's proposal to make a man. And that happened on the sixth day. And Genesis 2:2-4 make a record of something. On the seventh day, God finished the work which he had been doing, and he ceased on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And he ceased on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because on it God ceased from all the works of creation that he had done. Such is the story of heaven and earth when they were created. So God proposed to create man on the sixth day after he had created the beasts of the field. And he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. God ceased from all his work on the seventh day. That is wonderful. And yet, the Bible said that when the Lord God made heaven and earth, when no scrub of the field was yet on earth, no grasses of the field had yet sprouted, because the Lord God had not rained upon the earth, and there was no man till the soil. God had already ceased from all his work, and yet, in chapter 2, nothing yet existed. There was no plant, there were no birds, there were no cattle. And we would say, how? Genesis 2:18-20 said something. It said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, on earth. We already read in chapter 1 that God ceased from all his work. But there was absolutely nothing on earth in chapter 2. There were no plants. Because, why? Because it says that in Genesis 2 verse 5, when no scrub of the field was yet on earth, no grass of the field had yet sprouted, because the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Why? Because there was no man to till the ground. A flow would well up from the ground and water the whole surface of the earth. The Lord God formed man, that is, man, from the dust of the earth. The work of creation had been completed in the very first chapter. Again, spiritual. In chapter 2, before anything ever existed here on earth, God then would form this man. He formed this man from the dust of the earth. He clothed him. He gave him a cloth. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. This man was created right in Genesis 1. This man had both male and female attributes, so to say. And yet, in this place, a mortal body, a body of flesh, was formed for this man to be in. And what is his work? The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. And from the ground, the Lord God caused to grow. I thought the Lord God already commanded the ground to grow, the head to grow, and he saw that it was good. But here it said, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that was pleasing to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. Amen. So then here it says something. 15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden of Eden to till it and tend it. That was his job. To till it and to tend it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you are free to eat. But as for the tree of knowledge of good and bad, you must not eat of it. For as soon as you eat it, you shall die. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a fitting helper for him. A fitting helper for him. So picture a world where nothing existed. The Lord formed Adam. Then afterwards, things started growing. There were plants there growing. The Lord planted all of those things there. But there were work to do in that garden. That garden was not just completed without any work to do. It wasn't magic. God doesn't perform magic. Everything about God is either natural or supernatural. There is always a nature attached. So it's not magic. There was a need for a man to till the ground, for the plants to grow, for the trees to come by, for the seeds to be replanted, for pollination to happen. There were things he had set in place that needed to happen. So the man was functional for that purpose. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a fitting helper for him. And, you know, when you say it's not good for man to be alone, I will make a fitting helper for him, we automatically just think about Eve. But the next verse, and forgive me for using the word Eve, because the word Eve was a later name that was given to the woman. The woman's name was never Eve until later after the fall. So, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a fitting helper for him. And then what did the Lord do immediately? The Lord God formed out of the earth all the wild beasts and all the birds of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he will call them. After saying, I will make a fitting helper, the next action was for God to create wild beasts, birds of the sky, and every other animals. And we're bringing it them to Adam to name them. Adam was simply looking at them and giving them their various characteristics by name, because a name must form the characteristics of a person. You say, how do I know? It is in our world that we never care about name. But in the things of God, God cares about the name you bear. He cares about name. It's important to him. May not be your physical name as a Gentile, but there is a name you are called spiritually. In those days, in the days of Adam, in the days that even supersede the days of Adam, names are crucial. And that is how I want us to approach this particular study, in a way where we can eventually find out what is the name of the Lord. If name is quite crucial, then what is his name, right? And then if we know his name eventually, then we would much more appreciate him and we would not joke with that. Amen. So he said, I will make a fitting helper for him. And therefore God started bringing wild beasts, birds, fishes, all sort of things, bring him before Adam. Adam said, he looks at him and says, oh, this is a lion. Roar. Oh, this is an elephant. You know, it's not English, obviously, but it was forming the characteristics of all of these animals by the names that he was giving to them. I hope we understand. By the pronouncement out of the mouth of Adam. Don't let me use the word Adam. Out of the mouth of the man. By the pronouncement out of the mouth of the man, the characteristics of each of the animals were formed. Because God was forming them. He said, he formed them out of the earth and brought them to the man to see what he will call them. Now, let me paint you a picture there. God formed man out of the ground and he gave man a name. Do you see the picture? He gave man a name. That name was the breath into his nostrils. That thing he formed out of the dust was not man. That was flesh. That was dust. It was dust. But the thing he gave into the nostrils of that dust was why the dust was later called man. Because that man he had created in the beginning, in Genesis 1. The reason why we call that dust man is because what is inside him is the man, not the dust. And so, in this place, God was forming all of the animals. Remember, he did not say that he gave the animals, he didn't say he breathed them into their nostrils, right? But there was a prophet on earth called Adam. There was a man on earth called Adam who has the same image and likeness with God and who has the power to create. And so as God was forming all of these animals, he was bringing them before Adam, and whatsoever Adam calls them, what was he calling them? He was giving them their characteristics. He was forming them as they are. This will be called lion. And so whatsoever spirit the Lord had created for a lion from the beginning was given to that. I just want you to please just follow this as we go on. So God formed them, formed the birds, formed all the animals, the beasts and everything. And he gave Adam the privilege as the Lord of the earth to set them alive. And then they became alive. And whatsoever characteristics he gives them, that is what they would be going forward. So, and the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky. I'm reading verse 20. And all the wild beasts. Again, but for Adam, no fitting helper was found. What happened? God said, oh, I will give him a fitting helper. And God went on the journey to form and form and form and form and form. Let's just put it this way and say God started forming and forming and forming, right? And then there was still no fitting helper for him. And then God realized something. He said, the Lord God then had Adam go into a deep sleep. And from his side, he brought out a woman. He brought out a woman, and he brought the woman to the man. Again, look at this. He brought out a woman, and he brought the woman to the man, just as he created all of the animals. Just as he created all of the animals, that he was giving all of the animals name. This time around, he looked at Adam and said, there's no one that fits to help you. And he casted a deep sleep on Adam. And from his side, he brought out a woman. And then he brought that woman back to Adam, just the same way he did for the animals. And Adam looked at the woman and said, oh, this is different. And Adam still was the one who gave the woman a name. He said, she shall be called woman. Do you see what I'm saying? The name that Adam was given in that day was not lion, tiger, this, that. No, it was simply defining the characteristics of each of these things that were brought before him. He was the one that defined what a woman should be. He said, this one shall be called woman. And so when you look at her, she would behave like a woman. Because the Lord of the earth had given her that breath. She took out of him, he took out of himself. He took out of himself and gave to the woman. And that is why he would later say, this is the reason why a man will leave both the father and the mother and cling on to his wife, and the two will become one. Again, name. Name here is important. He gave the animals name. He gave the woman name. The name he gave the woman was woman. Ishak, woman. He later changed that name again. Remember, Adam had the power to change. He had the power to give characteristics, to pronounce. He later changed the woman from woman, which the Hebrew word will be called Ishak, to Eve. He changed the characteristics because something happened. This is why name is important. The name is not, oh, Adebayo. The name is not, oh, Brother Andupiri. The name is not Joshua. The name is not Philip. There is something deeper than what we pronounce. There is a characteristics that forms the name that we have. Amen. So we proceed from here. We have established that Adam precedes God's work of formation. That is, the man precedes God's work of formation. And so let's then talk about the serpent and the woman.